Hello and welcome to AssertSoftwareQuality.com AudioCast. Software testing, researching software features to test. Our speaker is Michael Kelly, Director of Testing and Quality Assurance for Interactions. I'm Jan Stafford, Executive Editor of AssertSoftwareQuality.com and your moderator. This AudioCast is part of our series of AudioCast interviews with Michael Kelly in which he gives tips on best practices for software testing. Thanks for joining us, Michael.
Thank you for having me.
For our listeners, if you have any problems with the sound or quality of this AudioCast, please write to us at editor@certsoftwarequality.com, and our tech support team will get in touch with you within 24 hours. Now let's get started with our interview. When researching aspects of each feature you need to test, you recommend using the SATISFY heuristic test strategy model, which lists feature aspects that must be researched, including structure, function, data, platform, operation, and time. Do you always do your research in that order? And if not, what determines your research process?
I used to use the heuristic test strategy model as a checklist. I'd start at the top, walk it to the bottom. Nowadays, since I've used it so often, I don't really look at it anymore until I'm done. And so it's become kind of just a checksum to see if I've missed anything or forgotten anything. So it's kind of transitioned from, like, you know, what I would really start my research with to just more of a security blanket. Today when I start with the areas that I feel most natural, are most natural for what I'm testing at the time. So an example of that, if I'm testing a web app, I tend to think of structure because I'm thinking about how this thing's going to be deployed, what it relies on. You know, what some of the technology pieces are. If I'm testing a financial services application, I think of data because, it, you know, it's a lot to do with customer data and, the process, the life cycle that the data is going to go through. And if I'm testing an application that's on a mobile device, I naturally think of the platform first. You know, what's the physical device that it's on? What operating system is that device running? You know, what kind of messages is it sending and receiving? So those are just kind of the way that I start thinking about it. It's kind of a natural extension of what I'm testing. Then, you know, after I go through the ones that occur to me right away, then I'll kind of pull out the checklist. And if I haven't covered one of the areas, then that's where I would go through and address that. And, you know, sometimes for some areas, I just count it as out of scope and don't necessarily address it.
And how do you gather information when researching features? How do you go about it, and what are your resources?
I always tend to start with whatever documentation I have handy. I personally need pictures and conversations for things to really sink in, but if there is something out there that's been used in past projects or is part of the current project in terms of requirements or architectural documentation, I like to look at that stuff. I really like talking with customers, or business users. I like talking with the programmers involved to understand what they think that this thing should be doing. If the software isn't entirely new, I try to use and explore the existing software to better understand the context for the changes that are being made. If I know that there are similar products out there, this would be more in a product company, sometimes in IT too, but you know, if there are similar products out there, or if we can look at something and say, you know, it's going to do that same thing, only it's going to be a little bit different, then I try to get my hands on that, see if I can look at that and understand what's happening. I'm really kind of a hands-on guy. So, you know, while I can read about something, I really want to see it and touch it if I can. If I don't understand the technology that's being used or if I don't understand the business problem, then, you know, I'll go online. Google, of course, is the universal research tool nowadays. And just, you know, try to read up on it as much as I can. A recent example, you know, was on a project where we implemented LifeRay as a portal technology. And, you know, I'd never done that before. So, you know, spent a lot of time on LifeRay's website, on their forums, understanding the gotchas where people have kind of fallen down in the past when implementing it for the first time. I think that's kind of that's not only a testing thing. You know, I think a lot of programmers go through that same thing when they, get a requirement and they're trying to figure out what they need to program or how they're going to implement a new technology. It's kind of that same process.
Which criteria is often overlooked when software testers search features that must be tested, and why?
Until very recently, I've almost always ignored installability and localizability as, quality criteria. I've almost always ignored portability. Those quality criteria just don't really apply in most contexts I work in. However, now, installability is a really big issue for me. While I used to completely ignore it, now it's one of the first things I look at. I think it really depends on the type of product that you're testing and the context in which you're testing in. Some are going to come more naturally based on the product than others. If you don't really do port to your code, portability isn't that big of a deal, and you're not going to test it, and you probably shouldn't. I suspect, however, what you might be looking for here is, what gets overlooked that probably shouldn't be overlooked. So, in my experience for IT projects, it's typically security and scalability that get overlooked the most. And for product companies, it's probably usability and reliability. And that's not because product companies don't care about those things, and it's not because IT companies don't care about those things. It's just that it tends to be that the driving forces of the projects, those things just don't get looked at until late in the life cycle. And, unfortunately, it's always unfortunate, but unfortunately that means that those issues tend to get worked out late. And that's just me. I suspect other testers would tell you a different story. I know testers who have reliability as their top priority. If if you're in most things, telephony, reliability is a big deal, 5.9s. So I think it's really context sensitive. In most cases, I think it happens because, you only have so much time. You're going to naturally focus on quality criteria that are most meaningful to you and the rest of the project team. And that just means some stuff's going to fall off the plate despite, your best intentions.
Is it really possible or necessary for a software tester to anticipate and to test the product or feature in every way that it will be used?
Well, I think it's certainly not possible, but I do believe that it's necessary for a tester to be able to anticipate the way that things are going to be used. I mean, it's not possible to do all those tests. I mean, you could give me a product and send me into a room with a couple other people, and we'll come out with, more test cases than you could ever run economically. But I think that's what, the FibLock heuristic, Scott Barber's heuristic for, assessing risk, I think that's what that's all about. You necessarily can't do it all. So you have to have a way to focus on what you're going to test and why, and that's a question of risk. I think if a tester isn't good at imagining the uses of a product, whether it's common use, disfavored use, in the case of security testing, things like that, then I don't think they can do as good of a job figuring out what they need to test. It's kind of, I like to think about Jerry Weinberg's rule of three here. Jerry Weinberg's done a lot of writing in the programming and quality space. And his rule of three kind of goes like this. If you can't think of at least three different interpretations of a way to solve a problem, then you haven't thought enough about what it might mean. And I think that that's the same thing for testers. If you can't produce a lot of ideas for how something that's going to be is going to be used, then you can't really select what the best tests are to run. You kind of need to overproduce in the area of test ideas, and that means you really need to understand multiple uses and really anticipate how this thing's going to be used. That way you know when you're looking at risk, you know which ones are the right ones to pick.
And what are some good processes for documenting all the information gathered when researching features that must be tested?
Documentation is really my strong suit. I do a lot of stuff with lists. They work really well for me. I'll just open a Word document and go to town and really test out bullets and numbering. A lot of times, if I need to do something a bit more formal, I'll use spreadsheets and then just create columns so I can tag pieces of information in different ways. So sometimes, if I open a random spreadsheet of mine, I might have a list of test ideas along, in the first column as a number of rows. And then for each of those, I might tag it with, this is a test idea for this area of the application, or this is a performance test idea versus a functional test idea or usability test idea. So, some way that, as the list gets bigger and bigger and bigger, some way to make it manageable, and spreadsheets work well for me. there are a lot of tools out there that do this stuff for you. I know that mind mapping tools have become kind of a big deal. There's a number of testers who I really respect who use those quite a bit. Jonathan Cole, Kem Kaner, Rob Shabron. And I personally haven't used one, except for, you know, some pretty trivial things. But I've seen them use them, and it's quite impressive the way that they can take, you know, kind of an initial idea and really, you know, stretch it out to, you know, multiple degrees to really see what all's involved in that. Regardless of how you get your ideas, you know, I think there's a step that goes past that. And for me, I typically capture those groups of tests. Once I, you know, kind of understand the problem I'm working in, I capture those as charters. Once I know enough to start organizing my work, I try to create charters for it, and depending on where I'm at, that'll be a Word document or a wiki page or, you know, a note card. Until then, you know, whatever works best for me to get it down on paper, you know, that's what I do. I don't really have an answer because I've never really thought about it, so that's why you kind of heard three or four different things. Later in a project, you know, I think there's a transition from, you know, the early phase where you're researching and trying to understand and just coming up with test ideas. You know, I think a lot of that stuff, whatever is good and whatever you're going to keep, you know, I'll probably move to a charter. But I also think that, you know, a lot of that information really ends up in the test plan. And, you know, I think we're going to talk more about that later. But, you know, test plan is just a way for me when I start looking at a project and not just a list of features. It's a way to structure the work, and so a lot of the unordered information I have that are in my list becomes ordered and structured in the test plan, and I slowly start to add more and more and more and keep it up to date.
Thanks, Michael. That's the last of the questions for the Q&A. I'd also like to thank you, our listener. You can submit questions regarding this audio cast to Michael Kelly via email at editor@certsoftwarequality.com. Michael's answers to your questions will appear in his and our Ask the Expert section. Thanks again, Michael.
Thank you very much. My pleasure.
That concludes today's audio cast on software testing. This is Jan Stafford signing off. Have a great day.